Well, everybody, welcome to the second episode of Let's Talk with Pastor Rod, and it's also our second part of Lessons from 2020. And today we're talking about the importance of reaching people online. That's our theme today. So any pastors out there, leaders who are passionate about reaching more people with the good message of Jesus, listen in. This is going to be a great, great conversation for you to hear. So Pastor Rod, great to have you joining us again. Joining us is your podcast, so yeah. I guess I'm joining you.
Yeah, no, it's great to be together, Lewis, and got so much to talk about, really, haven't we? Online, whoa, what's going on?
It's a big world. It's a big world.
It really is, yeah.
Fantastic. So let's dive in. I'm going to ask you a few questions as we go along. So the first question is, let's go back to the start of 2020, pre-COVID, pre-pandemic. What was your thinking on using online to reach people? I guess where was our church and our movement of churches, Lifehouse, at the start of 2020?
We had the year before. It was interesting because my son Monty and one of our staff, May, both started talking to me about the importance of online and getting good equipment. In fact, they're talking every month about it. We did have an online presence, but it was sort of pretty early days. And then we were given a financial gift, and we said, let's put it into online. We bought the best stuff, and we had the big lead up. This is September before COVID, September 2019. So it was incredible, I think, that we had people with insight that we had to increase what we were doing. And at that time, we had no idea what was coming, but we knew that online was increasing. More people were watching us online from different countries and within Japan, and we could see that pattern increasing over time. In fact, I think we were seeing like a couple of thousand people watching us in 2019, and it was increasing. So we saw the need. We saw the increase. We didn't know where this was going, but we really did sense online was a future thing. It was something that was going to happen forever, really. In addition to our in-person services. So I don't know if that answered your question, but we were sort of getting ready for it before we knew it was there.
Yeah, totally. So coming into the year, I guess hot, ready to go with online. It wasn't a let's start from square one, was it?
Yeah, that's right. It was a prophetic sense that we were going big online. That's right.
Amazing, amazing. I guess none of us saw how big it was going to be so fast, so quick, right?
Yeah, I guess some churches in the world did do this early and had a big presence and big impact. We were thinking more in terms of Japan and our other Asian countries where we were, such as, you know, Korea, Hong Kong, etc. So we were seeing it in our context. How can we reach more people now when before the COVID thing happened?
Amazing, amazing. So then I guess for Japan, it was about March 2020 where COVID really became a thing, I guess, in Japan. And that's when we stopped doing our physical gatherings. So just take us back to that moment when we can't meet in physical Sunday gatherings like we've always known and been used to. And then I guess quite soon we realize it's probably going to be a significant period of time. What was your thoughts when you first realized we can't do physical Sunday meetings?
I think right at the beginning, we still could meet, but without kids. We had 2 weeks like that, and I think it gave us 2 weeks window to say to everyone physically, get ready for the change. There is a change coming. We were able to meet with people, speak to people, because it was early days. We didn't realize how big this was, how contagious it was. So we had a little window, and we just said to everyone, it's going to be online and it's going to be okay. We didn't know how long it would be, but we knew because of our upgrades that more and more people were watching online and that there was a good result. Like people were happy. And so I don't know. It's just that moment where we finally say, okay, this is our last Sunday. next week we're all online, yay! And there was no the good thing about this change is that there was no dissenting voices. Like, no one was saying this is a wrong decision or why. Like, everyone knew, and I think that's one thing I saw around the world, was there was a pretty well in our world, a total agreement that we have to go this way. That's good when there's big change. Like, everyone went together. That was a good thing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I still remember when our first Sunday where you instructed us we're not going to be meeting physically, and thinking, okay, you know, this will probably be a few weeks. And then I think the first time, maybe I'm wrong, but if I can remember correctly, I think the first, within a few weeks, you said probably, maybe we might not be meeting for a month or even three months.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, 3 months without Sunday gatherings. Wow, that's huge. So who would have seen it, eh?
Yeah, and the thing in Japan, there's no law that says we can't meet. It's a very strange situation here in Japan. So it really was about health and community concern. We realized early this was actually big because of what was happening in China, which is just across the pond from Japan, just close to us. We did know it was close. We did know some things were coming. And so we were able to say, because of health reasons, we're not going to meet. And yeah, you're right. It was like 1 month, 3 months. How long is this?
Yeah.
We don't know. But we were able to quickly pivot. And I guess that's a word we're going to talk about today a little bit. The concept of pivoting from just physical services to having, we had both physical and online, and then pivot to just online. That pivot was quite easy for us, really, as a movement, I think. And like you said, you got the instructions, we're not going to meet. It's all about the people. It's all about safety. It's all about being safe. But we've got this incredible online church. It's amazing. And Lifehouse, our movement, just went with that with, I can't say joy because it wasn't a joyous moment, but with unity. There was an incredible sense of unity and strength as we didn't know how long it was for, but for this season, we're going to be in unity and we're going to be happy. I remember that moment. Yeah.
Amazing. And so when did you start to realize that in this, you know, tough season and, you know, crazy times in the world, that there was actually going to be an amazing opportunity to reach more people online? When did that start to come to you?
Immediately. I did see, let me also back up and say we have really good connect groups, which are our small groups, and really great dream teams in our church. We had a very high level of involvement. And I think that all of those groups went online, all the dream teams went online, the unity was amazing, the sense of we're in this together was amazing. And I heard from connect group leaders for things like this, that people are happy to meet together. More people are meeting together. And some connect groups were saying 100% of our people are there every week. Like
on
before,
Zoom,
it might
online,
have been 60-70%, but there was incredible surge of people being online together, and then the viewers were very high and kept going higher and higher early. What we call the live viewers, people actually watching at that moment, was almost 100%. Everything went higher immediately, and I realized, we're actually able to do more here to touch people because we had small groups, dream teams, and an online presence. We had all three of those working for us, and we were a movement in unity. Everything just went up, Lewis. It was a crazy thing to see and feel, a surge. I can't use the word excitement. We weren't excited about this terrible disease, but a surge of unity and can do. This whole thing of, we can do this. You and other leaders, we can do this. We can do this. And wow, more people are watching. Wow, some some others are watching. And very early on, we saw this surge of viewers.
Incredible. Mm. Yeah, because I think a lot of talk in 2020 from, you know, you hear from different churches and different businesses, and a lot of the, I guess, the norm was to be in survival mode. Mm. Like, let's just get through 2020.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, 2020 sucks. Let's just get it over with. Let's get it out the way. But you had a different thinking, didn't you? You decided to make this a year of, you know, let's move forward. Let's advance. Yeah. Let's reach more people. How were you able to do that?
I think as a older pastor, thank you, older. I've seen a lot of things. I've lived in a bunch of countries, and I've seen some disasters. I've been part of relief work. I've personally had my life threatened many times, and I feel that God had built into me a sense of, what can I say, that he's still in control. That we're not going to panic here. We just have to go with the moment. And I knew you would be asking this question. I do have a scripture right now I want to share, because I think it's an issue of life question for Christians and Christian leaders. Mm. It just says in Proverbs 16:1, to man are the plans of the heart, but from God is the answer of the tongue. And I think that we have to have plans at all times. You know, we are not just those fatalists that says, oh, it's all up to God. And no, we have to make our plans. Our plans have to be good, and plans have to be restructured, reconsidered with leadership and wisdom at all times. Even in times of peace, there needs to be plans. But I've seen in my life when plans have been disrupted. This is my point. I was here in 2011 with the great earthquake. I think you were here, Lewis, during that time. Is that right?
I sure was, yeah.
There was an earthquake, a tsunami, and a nuclear explosion in Fukushima that changed Japan forever. We had to pivot at that time. We had our plans out at that time, 2011, and our plans just, a number were, had to be thrown away. And we realized that God was in control. So I think at these times right now, with the moment you're talking about last year, I've got an incredible sense that this is terrible, but God is in control. What do we do? And where is the opportunities? And how do I lead in this moment of trial? Because I've done it before. I'd done it in other countries. I've done it where some people were in danger and some people had loss. I'm not saying I'm always going to do amazing, but I've learned that God is in control. That scripture again. We plan man plans his ways, which is good. We got to do that, but from God comes the answer of the tongue. So I went to prayer and just said, well, we're in this situation. What do we do? Where is our strengths? Where can we pivot to? And once again, let me say that we were in complete unity as we talked about how we can pivot our online to be our main. We had that couple of weeks warning. Things were changing fast. We were able to speak to the church explaining it. But not being upset by the change, I think, is really important. That, you know, it's like being a leader in a family. If the father and the mother are secure, the kids are secure. Now, I'm not saying our people are kids, but the principle of leadership is if the leadership gets a word from God and leads well, doesn't mean leads perfectly. And you get what I'm saying, right? Like we're not, totally. Not bulletproof and no. But we're sensing that God's here and we can do something. I think that the God's reply of the tongue becomes incredibly strong. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say with that proverb?
Yeah.
In that moment of change, what is God going to say? What's God's answer? All my plans are thrown out, but it's okay. And I've seen it before. that God is in control. And I think that really helped us a lot, that we just really felt God's peace. And actually, we felt God's grace as we thought about pivoting online. And I think it's something we will revisit a little bit later in this conversation, is being led by grace. That for me as the leader, I really did feel a grace to go online, and I felt a grace to say to our church, we have to do it. It's okay. In fact, God's going to use it. And it was genuine. I really felt that.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I was just thinking back as you were sharing right then that it's not like because we had vision for we're going to reach more people and that we were lacking in caring for the people in the church. And I think sometimes people might think that, well, if in a crisis situation, we have to just, you know, care for people and we can't really think of vision and mission. But just thinking back through the people in Lifehouse Hiroshima, and I think actually, you know, having vision is a big part of having health as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I think our people had a lot of them had a great year on a personal level because they had vision and mission in 2020.
Yeah.
And I think that actually really added to the health of our church, along with our connect groups and journaling and the basics. So would you agree with that?
Totally. And I think that our culture in Lifehouse of journaling, and any visitor listening, that's just simply reading the Bible for maybe 5 minutes a day and saying, God, would you speak to me today from your word? It's we're teaching people to self-feeding, some people call this. It's not a new thing. It's not a Lifehouse thing. It's been done all through church history, the concept of getting a scripture and saying, God, speak to me. By teaching literally thousands of people to do that, I really do mean that, thousands of our people do that. They're not reliant upon seeing the pastor or seeing a church leader physically. I know we want to do that, and I want to do that too, but we couldn't. So in the moment where we couldn't do physical meetings, we still had that meeting with God, a word from God, and online on Zoom. We had that. We had all that. Life has been using Zoom meetings for, I think, for 5 years previous. This was not new to us. Us as leaders across our movement, we were always using Zoom or Skype, I think, at the beginning. And so the technology was there. The structure was there. The unity was there. The way that people could keep their personal life with Christ going was there. Our small groups were there. There was care there. And I think I didn't hear anyone say we weren't cared for. Our whole system, and I said to my pastors, every one of them, you have to personally connect with people every week. Maybe not the same people, but you have to connect with everyone on a regular basis, and all our connect group leaders and dream team leaders, you have to connect with people. And I said, it doesn't have to be big teaching right now. It just has to be, I'm here for you, and we can pray, and we can be united. And that sense of touching in the heart was there from the very beginning. Do you remember that?
Totally. Yep.
It was there. It was there in the movement. As I said, I now there might have been people that got missed out here and there. I'm sorry if that happened, but I haven't heard that. What I've heard is people say we felt connected. It was amazing.
Yeah, incredible. So let's just shift gears a little bit. Can you explain to us, especially for pastors and church leaders out there listening, what is the opportunity you see right now online? How can the church use online right now? What are the opportunities in front of us?
Well, once I've just said the people are settled, and I think I said that to our team, once our people are settled and happy and united and growing, once that's in place, we can now look outwards. And I think that's a really important thing, that we didn't see online as just outreach. We settled our own hearts. We settled our own people. And then I said, I think the time now that we can all start facing out, and can we all start sharing the message with friends? So the message went out, can you, church people, Lifehouse people, could you share on your Facebook or Instagram or your YouTube or whatever it was, could you be part of the team that shares out now? And I don't know what percentage did that, but I think a few people were shy to do that at the beginning, which is fine. But I think there's more and more of a confidence for our people to start outreaching. And I realized that, wow, this could be the biggest moment of outreach in Lifehouse, in our history, but also in the history of our people. And that's true because we've seen many of our people say things like, you know, a friend from school saw my post and started watching online, or my mum watched with me, or my grandma started watching, or someone I used to be in a choir with started contacting me again after seeing the sharing. So I think this is probably, thinking back, this is probably the greatest revelation to me was when our people started sharing more than ever before. Now, our people did share, but it just went high. And then I said, okay, wow, if our people can share and there's more viewers just starting to appear, what could this mean? And that's when I really started getting so excited about new fields, new things. Our people are happy. Our people are sharing. As a leadership team, how can we then move this online into a whole nother level? And I came up with this term, let's go beast mode.
Beast mode.
Beast mode. And it was about that time that my friend from Peru, Robert Barriger, was asking me about COVID, and they had not yet had COVID. And I remember him asking me on the phone, said, Rod, what is this? And my words to him is, Robert, I believe this is a game changer. I believe it's going to change nations such as China and Iran and other nations. I believe it's big. It's going to be a world changer. And I feel we have to go beast mode. And I use that phrase. Well, just this last week, where we're now in January 2021, he came back to me quoting that he said to people all over the world, we have to go beast mode online. Now, what is beast mode? Well, to me, beast mode was originally from my little boys. They had a little toy called Beast Wars, I think it is, where little are like a tiger might become a car or a truck. It's sort of like Transformers. Yeah. And they called it going beast mode. And it was just like a game, a toy. But I remember that. And then I sort of thought about the old Mario Kart game or whatever it is, where they would touch a star and the music would go, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, bop. Sorry about that. and for 10 seconds, you were in this star mode, this I don't think it was called beast mode, but I sort of saw that and I thought, that's what we're doing. We're touching us. It's like touching something and we go big. And I know any Americans hearing this might think about there was a NFL player that was just incredibly strong and he just got the ball and went up. Oh, he's in beast mode. But that's where it comes from, the concept of just going to a whole nother level. So instead of seeing online as a secondary poor thing to do, I saw it that we're okay, we're settled, our people are happy. They're sharing more than ever. And wow, what could this mean for the world? That's sort of how my brain went. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So if we could talk about, let's say, whenever this pandemic is over, whatever that looks like, whatever, when we can meet physically again, no restrictions, whenever that happens for the world, how do you see online being a part? What part is online going to play when we can meet physically again?
This is really a huge question, which I think a lot of pastors are talking about, the moment where we can meet again. And I'm looking forward to that moment. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys and your great family and other families and worshiping together. I'm looking forward to that moment. But I realize that things, as I said, this is a game changer, that some people will be slower to come back. Some people might not want to come back. They might want to stay online, and all sorts of possibilities. So my answer is 100% online and 100% in-person meetings.
Yeah.
But I think the in-person meetings will be different. We can talk about that if you want to, if that's for this moment or for another one.
Maybe that could be a whole podcast, I think.
I think it is. I think it's big. I think we need to really, as I talk about that proverb, man makes his plans, but the answer comes from the Lord. I think we've got plans, but they're not fully formed. And as we sit here in Japan in January 2021, I think we've got at least another 6 months before vaccination, might be 3 months, and then the Olympics maybe in July.
We'll see,
By the end of this year, hopefully we've got some physical services on a regular basis. But the question you're asking is, what is the future of online? And I would say it's 100% online and 100% physical, because I think choices will be made by people what they will do. And I think a lot of people will make a variety of choices. And I think a lot of people will make choices based upon certain weeks of the month. So that's for a future talk. But my answer to your question is, we will always have online. We will always be outreaching. We have never reached so many people in Japan and overseas than we can online, and our people sharing. And as I said, lots of mums and dads and grandmas and brothers and sisters watching for the very first time. A lot of middle-aged Japanese watching for the very first time. A lot of people in other countries such as India and Mongolia watching for the very first time. We will never stop doing online. It is here forever. And but that doesn't mean we don't enjoy physical services as well. We will do both well, and that is a challenge for the future.
I love it. I love it. You know, I think something unique about Lifehouse this year, and again, I think this is definitely a future podcast in depth, but the concept of starting online campuses this year is something. And I'd say from just my perspective of what I've heard and looked around the world, is that a lot of churches are thinking maybe the online campus is a good secondary option for people that can't come in person. And obviously when we can't meet in person, and but I think, you know, we're thinking that not only is it a great opportunity for our people to be more connected, like you said, giving more options, but it also is that amazing time to reach out. And so just tell us a little bit about online campuses. What have we done this year, and why are we doing that?
When we started in March last year, 2020, beginning of COVID, Lifehouse had 22 physical campuses and our one online campus.
Yep.
As we sit here now, 10 months later, we have 50 online campuses and one physical campus in the country of Taiwan, because they've done so well with COVID. So we have 50 online campuses and one physical campus. Wow. One of our campuses, Hong Kong, has gone online, gone physical, gone online, gone physical. Our pastor there calls it the dance between the two. And so he has wisely said to his church, no matter what the moment is, we will have online, it will be excellent, and then we will also have the physical. So the online services are here to stay, and it's also given us the chance to reach a whole lot of new people. So even with Hong Kong, they've got now an online campus in Macau and on Hong Kong Island. That's two extra. And they've just started one using a young couple moving back to Sri Lanka to start one in Sri Lanka, in Colombo.
Come on.
In Sri Lanka. So from this one center, there's been massive outreach, as well as the core being strong.
Yeah.
The second thing I'd say is there's some parts of, for example, Japan, that we had a plan to plant there one day, but to plant a church in Japan is, you won't often hear me say this, but it's hard and it's tough, isn't it, Lewis?
it has its moments.
starting in Hiroshima, it was hard, but it was good. Some parts, we had a plan to get there within 10 or 20 years.
Right.
And now we have an online campus in that province with committed people. I'm thinking, let me give an example, up in Sendai, into the province of Iwate. Yeah. We had nothing. no presence there. And there were very few churches in that whole province of maybe, I think, 2 million people or something. Mm. Maybe in 10 or 20 years, we would have had a leader and a plan to plant there. But now we already have an online campus in two cities. We have in one city, we have a family, and another city, we have a single guy running the campus in the capital city, Morioka. And as a result of having local leaders with local people in connect groups, in small groups, and local people on Dream Team, we now have a presence in that province. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And then there's other people contacting us who their families were hurt in the tsunami that happened 10 years ago, and there's no church for them. University students, young students saying, can we join the church from our city or our town? And I don't know how many are up there as part of our life house, but I'm so excited by that. You can tell that in my voice. Wow. Wow. We get to do this in province after province in Japan. And then in where you are in Hiroshima, you've got to you know, I could interview you right now, but you've got outreach into Hiroshima, and then you've got Iwakuni, you've got Fukuyama, Okayama, wanting to do this year into Shikoku. And then you're doing also other languages groups in Portuguese and Spanish from Hiroshima Center. Well, you couldn't have planned that.
No.
you know, I guess there was a wild dream in the heart somewhere there, but a year later or 10 months later, it's real.
Yeah.
It's all real. So us going to 50 campuses represents 50 units of care, of production. There's video production there. There's dream teams. There's connect groups. There's leadership development in a whole bunch of areas in your area. So what can I say, Lewis? What can I say, viewers? This is the most amazing opportunity for outreach and expansion I've ever seen. And if I could bring that to a larger scale, I don't know how much time we have here, but
good, go.
There's whole parts of the world that have not been reached with the gospel. Japan as a country has not been reached with the gospel. So this country, 126 million people, wonderful people, most have never heard the name Jesus. In fact, still in the streets of Tokyo, if we go today and we say, hello, have you heard of Jesus? People might say, well, most of them will say no, but some of them might say, no, is he American or is he a movie star? Like, genuinely, who is this Jesus you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, we get the chance to broadcast Jesus right over Japan. Well, there's other nations that have never heard the name of Jesus. And, you know, I think of some of the subcontinent of India area, the northern part of India and Pakistan and beautiful people in countries get to hear the gospel. Not only do they get to hear the gospel, they get to download the Bible on their app, and they could do Bible studies in their language from our app or some other app. We're discipling people in other countries in Iran and Ukraine and Cambodia. Just heard of someone yesterday, Nepal. I think this is the greatest moment of increase in our generation, at least, if not in the history of the whole world. Probably more people are hearing about Jesus now because of online than in the history of the world. That's incredible concept. And I would just encourage other churches to use your contacts to start online campuses, start reaching new people. It's amazing.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
It's an amazing time, isn't it?
It really is.
Last thing I just want to ask about is, you know, a tool we've been using this year and last year, of course, is paid advertising, which for anyone who is unfamiliar, it's simply on Facebook and YouTube, we have been using our messages, our services, paying a little bit of money to be able to, you know, boost that content so that many more people in the areas our churches are reaching can see and interact with that. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think maybe some people would be shocked that a church would use paid advertising to promote their services and their messages. So tell us about that, Pastor Rod, the why behind that.
Yeah, well, obviously these are tools, and what you mentioned, Facebook, YouTube, that might change in a couple of years. It's here now. Could be gone or could be changed. So I'm not seeing it as a forever strategy, but right now we have a chance to advertise for very little money to a bunch of people, and some are responding to the message. And they're responding, then they're hearing about Jesus or about Christian marriage or about having a healthy thinking in a time of COVID. So our message, our good news.
Mm.
But you know what? When I was young, our church was always advertised in newspapers. Do you remember those things called newspapers?
I don't think I've ever read a newspaper in my life.
Wow, there was a thing called a newspaper. And we always advertised and said, hi, this is our church. We have this and this and this. If you'd like to come, we have services on at this time, etc. No one ever questioned that. It's just something you do. And I think there was sometimes people did it on the radio as well. Hi, you know, Christian radio, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of advertising is not new.
Yeah.
Also, at the end of every service, we would always say to people, hey, could you think about someone you could invite to church? So we're asking our people to share. So when we come to today, I think it's the same thing with a different format. We're asking our people to share on their Facebook or YouTube or whatever. That's up to them if they do or not. And we're also using a bit of advertising with our wonderful message of Jesus. And all of a sudden, all these people are responding. Let me give you two examples. One is here in Tokyo. Our Wednesday night teaching message, which is quite long. It's about 40 minutes, and it's a series. We started doing that last year on the end times. Now we're doing it on giftings in the Bible. The Bible mentions different giftings, motivational giftings. And we noticed that a whole bunch of middle-aged Japanese people were watching it every week. All of a sudden, we saw it on Facebook. They were saying, like, or emoji here, emoji there, and we would write to them, and they were still watching, and a few of those probably have become part of our church. In fact, I think if we did, if we could hold a meeting now and invited that group, we would meet a whole bunch of new part of Lifehouse. Some Amazing. Would be Christian, some would be non-Christian, some would be seeking, but they're watching regularly, teaching from the Bible. Isn't that incredible? Now, how did we touch them? I think it's through advertising. We just threw it out there. Hey, we have this teaching on healthy thinking or marriage, or would you like to know what the Bible says about the end times, or whatever the ad was.
Mm.
It's just saying this is what we have, and they're responding. That's incredible. It's so big that now we're starting for the first time. We're a very young church. We're starting for the first time connect groups for older people. It's because of this response of people, and I think many of them have never heard. This is truly amazing that Japanese are not, you know this, Lewis, but for the viewers here, Japanese are never closed to the gospel. They just haven't heard in a way That's right. they can understand. We also do some fun stuff in our bilingual and Japanese services, like it's called otayori, which means responsive viewing or
request time.
Thank you. Just a bit of a game show type thing, which Japanese love. We've had so many non-Christian mums and dads, especially non-Christian dads, watch that part of our service because someone invited them and said, this is really good. And then they hear the message of Jesus. The other and final illustration I'll give is from the country of Mongolia. We don't have anyone in Mongolia right now, but all of a sudden our English service was being picked up and shared by strangers in Mongolia in their own language. I saw it myself maybe a month ago. Just two people shared on their platform, on their personal, whether it was Facebook or whatever. And all of a sudden, thousands of people from Mongolia were watching our English service.
Wow.
Now, I don't know where that's going to go, but it's an example to me of when you advertise, you don't know who's listening.
Yeah.
And one thing I know, Lewis, you did when you were in Tokyo, you did a lot of street teams.
Yep.
And the whole thing of street team, one night of street team, is to reach a few people that were hungry to talk about Jesus. A whole night with a whole team, and you're only reaching a few. But how many of those few became just diamonds, just absolutely amazing followers of Jesus? We can't do street team anymore, so we're doing this little bit of advertising. And those people who are hungry, you know, some people have said to us, I was calling on God and I saw your ad. I was asking, can anyone help me? And then I saw your ad. We hear this over and over and over. And although people may not like the word, we call it like it's random. We're just throwing out the good news and random people are just grabbing it. I will give you two more quick ones. I know we've got to go.
That's just great.
Just recently, someone from the country of Iran contacted us, said, I'm from another religion, but I just randomly watched the Passion of Christ movie and then somehow I saw your program. Could I receive Jesus? Could someone help me receive Jesus? So that was 6 weeks ago. He's been reading the Bible every day, wants to serve Jesus. Another guy in Myanmar, a student who's studying medicine, contacted us. He said, I'm not a Christian, but I would like to follow Jesus. And we led him to know Jesus. And now he gets the Bible every day, reads it, and shares it with his students. This is incredible. I will have to finish, I guess, right now, but I could tell you hundreds of stories.
Yeah.
And I want the viewers to know this is the greatest moment of opportunity. So let me say again, as long as our church is secure and happy and fed and praying and reading the Bible and happy, and we're asking them to share, then online becomes this incredible opportunity. And I would say, why don't you try advertising? Because we're just putting Jesus' name out there or Christian teaching, and people are responding.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, I think we will wrap it up there. It's been a great conversation. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today. Yep. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to stay in the loop, not miss another episode. And we're looking forward to being together with you guys again soon.
See you later, everyone. Thanks for watching.
See ya.
Bye.